The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In Ezekiel 20, God addresses what I would consider to be a very thought-provoking subject, and that subject is the polluting of God's Sabbaths. And from that word Sabbath, it is referring to both the weekly as well as the annual Sabbaths. And so with that statement in mind, please go with me to Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll read verse 16. Now, I know that I'm addressing a group of people who know and understand that Saturday is a Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. It is a Sabbath. We understand that. But this is, like I said, to me, this is a very thought-provoking subject, the polluting of God's Sabbath. In verse 16, Ezekiel 20, verse 16, he says, "Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols." In this verse, this word polluted is translated in the King James Version, it is translated as polluted, while in the New King James, the New American Standard, and the New Revised Standard Version, and others, it is translated as the word profaned. This word polluted comes from a Hebrew word meaning to be polluted or to be profaned or to defile, stained, poisoned, foul, contaminated. And I think that if we think about it, we could go, we could see all of those words if we could use that word. I mean, after all, we all realize, we all know that we can have polluted air, food, air, water, soil, and then to some degree, they are defiled or stained or poisoned or foul or contaminated. The same word can also imply discredited or violated. Now, the Hebrew word that is translated in the King James Version for profane means to treat with irreverence and disrespect. It also can mean to treat as common. And brethren, this is where we are. This is where I'm getting to. And let's understand, please realize that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they are all common days of the week. Although the weekly Sabbath is holy, along with the annual Sabbath as well. It is special, and it has been set apart by God. And here, early in this message, we must realize it is not common, nor is it to be treated as common. I have entitled this message as, "Are We Polluting God's Sabbaths?" So it's not a question with most of us that are going to be hearing this message. With most of us, it's not a question about which day is the Sabbath. The question that we need to ask is, are we polluting God's Sabbath? So here, you know, if you've listened to me at any period of time at all, you know that I ask questions and lead in to various topics by questions. And so here let's ask, how do we know that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the rest of the days are common days? Well, it is quite simple, because God demonstrated this point for 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel week after week after week. Please go with me, if you would, to Exodus. You may want to put a marker there in Ezekiel. We're going to go there at least two other times that I'm aware of. I say I'm aware of because you never know what's going to happen. But go with me to the book of Exodus 16. Exodus 16 and verse 1. Exodus 16 and verse 1. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I'm reading these verses to set up what God's going to do. Continue on, verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, Moses and Aaron, would to God we had died in the hand by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. I don't think so. I don't think this is really what they meant. This is what they're saying. This is an attitude. This is, we're seeing something about these people. I'm not saying it would have been any different. I'm just saying this is what we're seeing. When we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. None of us believe. Now I realize we're looking at it, you know, way back. You know, that was way back there. And so I understand we're looking at it from a different perspective than being right in the midst of it. But none of us believe that that's what God did. He never intended that. Never. But let's go on in verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather it a certain rate every day, that I may prove or try them whether they will walk in my law or no. Are they going to follow me, yes or no? And so here we see, on the heels of their griping, only 15th day, when you really understand it, they're only a month out. You know, I mean, when you really think about it, you know, they're a short time out of Egypt. And here they're murmuring, and I can get it. I can understand that. And God says, well, I'm going to try them. I'm going to find out if they're going to walk in my ways, yes or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day, now we call that day Friday. We in our family have started calling it the preparation day, because that's what it really is, that they shall prepare that which they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. In other words, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they gather a certain rate. On Friday, they gather twice as much. I mean, we understand this, but just making the point. And Moses said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Because of this miracle that God is going to do. He told him what he was going to do, and he says, you're going to know that God is the one who brought you out because of what he's going to do here. Drop down. We could read all of it, but drop down to verse 23. And he, Moses, said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today. In other words, on the sixth day or the preparation day. And see that you will see then that which remains over. Lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today, the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. You shall not find it, the it is the bread that he rained down from heaven. Children of Israel, they started calling it manna, meaning simply translated, what is this? I don't think it was necessarily a derogatory term. They just had never had this before. I don't think they ever knew. What is it? You shall not find it in the field. It's not going to be there on the seventh day. On the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it shall come to pass that when there went some out of the people on the seventh day. Wow, okay. They trying God here. And together they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? Remember he said, I'm going to prove them. I'm going to try them. I want to find out, are they going to follow me, yes or no? And here is apparently the very first time he does it, they didn't believe him. So they go out and look. See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let not man, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. For the people rested on the Sabbath day, or the Sabbath day. What we see here is week by week by week, on the seventh day, the Sabbath, God reminded them week after week, and He is reminding us that the Sabbath establishes a recurring and habitual habit and appointment with God. He wants us to be in His presence this day. It is a special time for developing and building our relationship with the Creator God. Now, we either want to accept that or we don't. We either going to pollute it doing whatever that means, or we're not. And it's sad, and of course we know this, Israel never really got the point. Even though if you do the math, 52 weeks times 40, it's over 2,000 reminders that which day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And so let's understand, it is from the proper, appropriate use of this day in fellowshipping with God and getting to know Him that we come to the true spiritual rest and refreshment intended by God from the very creation. When they've been delivered out of Egypt, this is what He's doing is not really new. The manna is. But He intended this from the very beginning. He intended this. And so go with me, if you were, to let's see where God created the Sabbath and where He made it special. And I realize, and to a big degree, I'm speaking to the choir. I understand that. But we're still addressing this thought-provoking question. Are we polluting God's Sabbath? Just because we know it doesn't mean that are we guilty of? That's the question we need to ask. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. In verse 1, Genesis 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the Sabbath day from all His work which He had made. That's an important point to understand. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart. Set it apart meaning to be holy. And God is the only one that can set something apart to be holy. We can't set something apart. God sets it apart. He set this day apart. Because, this is the why He did this, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So we see the example, the Creator God rested from His work on the Sabbath day, setting us, all humanity, the example of keeping the Sabbath holy, not doing our own will, not doing our own work. We are to rest. That's another word that we're not really, what that word, how you really understand that word, that's not really part of this particular teaching. So keeping the Sabbath in an appropriate way, by that I am meaning the way God has determined that it needs to be kept, and through seeing it as a very special date with God, that will, if we do this in God, as in the way that God had intended, this will restore our energy. It will renew our strength. And there are all kinds of verses that I'm not going to back up with this, but they are there. And release us from the bondage to sin and worldly predicaments that we might have gotten ourselves into during the week. So we come to the Holy Sabbath and keep it in the way God had intended. We're released from all of that. Brethren, we need to vigorously guard our minds from any unlawful desire that may distract us from the Sabbath. Because that would take us away from God, taking the place of God. This taking away takes the place of God. Therefore, they did their idols. We'll get into that. So we need to understand whatever it is, that we put into place of God's will for us on his Sabbath, an idol, as it's referred to in Ezekiel 20, we might, anything that we're going to place there will destroy our relationship with God. I'm not saying it's going to be one time or two times or whatever, but I'm, you know, it's not a percentage here. I'm saying we keep polluting the Sabbath over and over. It's going to destroy the relationship that you have with God. That's the point. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel 20. Hope you put your marker there. Verse 16. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their God. So let's ask an obvious question here, and that question is, what motivated his people to despise and to pollute or profane, making God's Sabbaths common? Well, by beginning to try and answer this question, go with me to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of this heart, spring the issues of life. Jesus, over in Matthew chapter 15, kind of, the only term that I can really come up with is he kind of updated that proverb, not that there's a problem with the proverb, but he kind of brings it forward. So go with me to Matthew 15, verse 11. Matthew 15, verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Now, going down to verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the mouth proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and at least a dozen other sins that are could be listed here. And yet, just as surely as those evil things come out of the heart, so can good things come out of that same heart. So it's a matter of what do we put in there? How do we deal with this heart? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed or springs or comes the issues of life. And so he's telling us, by this word heart, what I am meaning is our thinking and our emotional actions. What we think and then how we carry it out. Our thinking and our emotional actions. So we can see, God says through Ezekiel, they broke God's Sabbaths, weekly and annual Sabbaths, because their hearts went after their idols. In other words, in their thinking and in their emotional actions, they went after their gods, just trying to bring it all together. Now, I want us to also understand, spiritually speaking, an idol can be anything that we give our time or attention to, anything that comes and causes a distraction and a disadvantage or harm to our relationship with God. And it makes no difference what it is. And yet, at the same time, we also must realize that idol forces a person to do its will rather than doing God's will. In other words, what I am saying here, if our heart goes after an idol, whatever that idol might be, and especially if we tie this into the Sabbath, because this is the topic that we're seeing, are we polluting God's Sabbaths? The rest of our body will follow the heart. It will follow what the heart, the thinking, and the procedures, the actions have brought about. Remember, by heart, I am meaning our thinking and our emotional actions. And that imposes its will. its desires, its wants on our hands, our eyes, our feet, our ears, everything about us. And they just simply follow what the heart wills for the idol to do. In other words, it begins up here, and then we act out on this idol, whatever this idol is. And brethren, the fact is, what God is telling us in Ezekiel 20 and verse 16 is, if our hearts follow an idol, we will fail and break the Sabbath. We will break the Sabbath day. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's not as blunt as it could be. But that's what he's saying. Brethren, we also need to realize the idol does not have to be the same thing for every person. It'll be different things at different times, even for the same person. However, what we do need to understand is in relationship to the Sabbath, the result is always the same. And that is all, or at least some part of the weekly Sabbath or the annual Sabbath will be used for our own will, our own pleasures, and that means pursuing our own personal interests in place of God's will rather than what God intends for us. You see, God set it apart and he says, I want you to do certain things and I want you to stay away from other things. And then as a human, we get to decide whether we're going to do this, yes or no. And this is what he's addressing. And this is what I am attempting to address here. This is why God makes the statement that he does over in Isaiah 58. So go with me to Isaiah 58, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, shall honor God, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, not speaking your own way or your own words. He said, if you keep your word, keep these things away on the Sabbath and honoring God, and in honoring even the Sabbath. Now let's notice what God says that he will cause to happen if we honor his Sabbath. Verse 14. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, there's a lot more in here to than just reading the words, but what all I want us to get out of this at this point is we do this, we keep the Sabbath in the way God has said, keeping our foot off of it, keeping our mouth from speaking our own words, seeking our own pleasure, doing this, calling the Sabbath a delight, whatever that is. That's another subject. And doing these things on the Sabbath the way God wants to, he's going to bless us greatly. That's all that we really need to know in this context. Because you see, brethren, when we are doing our own ways, when we are finding our own pleasures, and when we are speaking our own words on God's Sabbath days, our tongue, our mouth, our hands, our feet, our eyes, everything else about our body are simply following after our idol. That's what goes back to Ezekiel 20. That's what he's saying. And undoubtedly, sometimes we do this ignorantly. We're not intending to do it. We're not aware. We're not educated enough. We haven't thought about it enough. We haven't really humbled perhaps ourselves enough before God and ask, is this okay with God? Yes or no? Is it yes or no? And we have to admit, for most of us, we know better. Yet our hearts are still going after our idols. It is going after what we want instead of what God wants. Now, I know that we could address the topic and say, well, why does God get to decide what we should want? Well, I can summarize it with two simple words, but it doesn't really do us justice. He's God. Now, that's much bigger than that, but it's sort of like you telling a child, don't do this when they're real little, and they go, why? And it says, because I said so. And you know that's not the real answer, but for them at that age, that's the answer. And for us at any age, no matter how long we've been doing this, the answer for us is because God said so. That's enough. Now, there's a whole lot more explanation to it, but that's really what it amounts to. I want us to go back again and look at some of these different phrases in Ezekiel 20 and verse 16. The phrase, my Sabbaths they greatly polluted, is not necessarily, here in the context, is not necessarily saying this was done by actual non-observance of the sabbatical rest in the wilderness. In other words, they may have been resting. A lot of us sometimes, we're polluting the Sabbath, we'll go, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm resting on the Sabbath. The question is, are we failing to make the day holy in actions as well as in name by serving and worshiping God and having the true heart service toward God? And by that I am meaning we are treating the Sabbath as common, like any other day of the week. And that could be simply what it is, because we're just not even aware of it. That's why I'm saying sometimes it could be out of ignorance, not recognizing it. And then still looking at Ezekiel 20, verse 16, the phrase, their heart. Now, I've already told you what I meant by the heart, the thinking and the actions of it, carrying it out. We need to realize that this is where the fault lies. Psalm 78 and verse 37, Psalm 78 and verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Well, see, if our heart, our thinking, and then our actions, emotional actions, the way we live it out, if it's steadfast in God's covenant, we're not going to be saying our own words. We're not going to be doing our own things on the Sabbath. We're going to be doing what God wants. And so this is what he says, for their heart was not right with him. Now, go back to Ezekiel 20, but this time I want us to go up a couple of verses and read verse 13. Ezekiel 20, verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. That's what I was just saying in this verse up here in Psalm 78 and verse 37. If his heart is thinking and acting it out, he's going to be steadfast. And here he's saying, they wouldn't. But if you do it, you're going to live in them. And my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. You think God wanted them to do all of these things to keep his statutes and his judgments and to keep his Sabbaths? Of course he did. So we see here in verse 13, their heart went after their idols, their will and their affections and their zeal and their determination were for their idols. And if you read in the whole context here, it is showing it was their idols that they had served in Egypt, which they brought out of Egypt with them. Now, let's go on. I'll come to that a little bit more. Then this phrase, this is back at Ezekiel 20 and verse 16. Then the phrase, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths. We just read up here in verse 13, where this was a just cause for God's resentment and his anger toward them. I will pour out my fury upon them. We could look at it and say, God, right. He told them how to do. He was the creator. He's the one who determined. He's the one who gets to decide what is right, what is holy, what is not holy, what is not right. And he said, this is the way I want you to live. And they weren't doing it. And he could have this anger toward this. And then this phrase, for their heart went after their idols, which they had served in Egypt. That led them away from the true worship and service of God. I mean, we have Jesus' own words over in the New Testament that simply says man cannot serve two masters. We cannot try to serve God and serve our own will, our idols, at the same time. Cannot be done. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This word mammon here is not translated as idols, but it's the sense of it. It's the same thing. It's anything that is in the place of God. Now, I know in the context, you go, well, it's talking about money. Well, that could be one of the things that can be an idol. Because what we see, brethren, is if we hold to the one and our heart is leaning toward God, because it said you're going to do one or the other. And so if our heart is leaning toward God, which you really understand is part of the definition of the word delight, we will despise the other. We're leaning toward God in our heart. We will not like the other way. And yet, let's also realize, brethren, this mammon or these idols, as referred to in Ezekiel 20 and verse 16, as the word is going to show us, because we're going to look at here in just a minute, what he's referring to, were nothing more than a little g god. And I say little g because there's only one big G, God, and that's God. Everything else is a little g. Or, as the word actually can be translated, is dunghill gods. Now, you can conjure what a dunghill is. And the thing is, I want us to understand, all worldly things in comparison to God that the human heart tends to go after, they are no more than dunghill gods. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. The Hebrew word translated here in Ezekiel 20 as idols comes from a root word meaning to roll or to roll away. Literally, the word means dung or dungy thing. Now, I have said before, the Hebrew language is a very graphic language. And to translate this Hebrew word as idol or idols is not doing the word or the sense of what God is trying to get across here to us by using these unoffending and harmless translations, is what it seems like. And what I mean by that is these idols were worth no more than dung. And yet, Israel was worshiping them instead of their loving, merciful, living God, because these things were not living. Whatever it is, it's a thought. I want this. Well, it's a thought. It's not living. I want us to understand, anything that it applies to every person, but I'm looking at it from us, you know, part of the body of Jesus Christ. Anything we revere, adore, idolize, esteem, or worship and serve or put before God, whether it is a career, whether it is money, whether it's a car or some pleasure, or whether it's some religious object, or even another person, whether it would be parent, child, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it may be, anything is an idol or mammon or dung if it is put in the place of God. That's what Ezekiel is telling us. So I go back and I ask the original question. Are we polluting God's Sabbath? Now we begin to understand how he thinks about this. Now, is there a problem with us loving our wife and our children and our husbands and all of this? Of course not. Of course not. But if we're putting anything in the place of God, and he ties this into the Sabbath, then that's how valuable it is, that putting it there. It's not the objects or even the person and all of that. It is something that distracts us from the genuine worship of the true God. And brethren, let's please understand, the Bible very clearly encourages us to guard our hearts from holding on to anything in the highest regard other than God himself and serving him with all of our heart. Let me read you some verses to show you what I'm talking about. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Revelation 8 in verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols. And then he lists out some of the things, whether it be of gold or silver or brass or stone or wood, which cannot see, nor hear, nor walk. In other words, it's not alive. It's not real. It's something that an object that we build, or all these other ideas that we have in place of God. Now, one more in this context is Proverbs 4 and verse 23. I'll read it this time out of the New American Standard Version, the NIV. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, heart, I'm telling you, my working definition is what I'm meaning is our thoughts and then our emotional actions of carrying it out. There's other ways that you could define this word heart. That's the way I'm defining it in this context. So I want us to go back to Ezekiel 20 and verse 16. Told you to put a marker there. But they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after their gods. The NIV and several other translations for this last part says, their hearts were devoted to their idols. Our devotion is to God. So, brethren, I think that we can see and we can understand. We all desperately need this vitally important 1/7 of our lives. I'm talking about the weekly Sabbath here, and then you throw in the annual Sabbaths on top of that. But at least it's 1/7 of our lives to rehearse and to experience what it is we are to become. Now, that's a totally another subject for another time. But what we're going to become is sons of God. Because we have done these things, whatever, all the things that God has told us to do, including not polluting the Sabbath. And I think that we can reach a conclusion directly from God's word about what we have seen today. And I think that conclusion is idols, or we could use the word idolatry because it could be translated as the same word, is at the foundation of Sabbath breaking. So let me ask this concluding question. Because we know who God is and because we are his children, why would any of us ever want to pollute or profane or defile God's Sabbaths? Or go after idols, whatever that is, in the place of God our Father. Why would we ever want to do that? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are blessed so very, very much by the loving great God to know the Sabbath. We don't want to pollute it in any way. We want to follow God in every way, and we have the wherewithal to do that. God bless each one of you, and happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.